T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Japan's Ag Ministry is considering a stimulus to address a matcha shortfall. Tea's unexpected role in water purification, and caffeine intake rises as consumers opt for coffee. Plus, ending the de minimis exemption on tea is short-sighted. Eliminating the $800 de minimis tariff exemption will significantly impact the U.S. tea industry. The recent imposition of a 10% tariff on top of the 7.5% duty on Chinese tea, with a threatened additional 10% duty under discussion, has disrupted and burdened quality-driven tea enthusiasts and small businesses. Removing the de minimis exemption further alienates those committed to quality and innovation in the tea market. Rather than a blanket removal, U.S. policymakers should explore targeted solutions, such as industry-specific exemptions that assist small-scale imports while addressing trade concerns. Otherwise, this decision will make premium tea less accessible for consumers and disadvantage U.S. retailers against global competitors. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Japan's Ministry of Tea will subsidize farmers to address a matcha shortage caused by rising demand. The shortage of tencha led Kyoto Tea Companies Ippodo and Mariuku to place purchase limits on the finely ground tea powder for the first time this year. The 2025 tea harvest, beginning with the first flush in April, will bring temporary relief, but the highest-grade tencha is usually harvested at the end of May or early June. Consumption within Japan is declining, but matcha is an international sensation with significant exports to Europe and the United States. Green tea exports have surged around ninefold to a record 29.2 billion yen, that's about 185 million U.S., over the past 15 years, lifted mainly by matcha on the back of the increased popularity of Japanese food among health-conscious consumers, according to the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, MAFF. According to government data, Japan's tea production dropped by more than 20% during the same period, reflecting the aging farm population and a nearly 40% drop in household annual spending on green tea. MAF reports that Japan produced 4,176 tons of matcha in 2023, almost a threefold increase from the 1,471 tons harvested in 2010. The shift to tencha will be stipulated in MAF's basic tea production policy to be revised this spring during its scheduled five-year review. Farmers will be incentivized to switch from producing sencha, Japan's most frequently consumed tea. Tencha is made by steaming and drying tea leaves grown in the shade. The leaves are then ground into fine matcha powder. According to the Global Japanese Tea Association, Kagoshima Prefecture has allocated 36 million yen to develop international sales channels. Shiga Prefecture is actively promoting omi tea in international markets. The Japan External Trade Association, JETRO, Inchiga organized visits for buyers from the USA and Austria, including farm tours and business meetings to raise awareness and market presence for OMI tea. In related news, the ministry reports Kagoshima has overtaken Shizuoka as Japan's leading tea producer, with a total production of 27,000 metric tons in 2024, surpassing Shizuoka's 25,800 tons. Shizuoka, though, kept the lead in high-value spring harvest volume. Kagoshima's success is attributed to its focus on summer harvest tea, which is widely used in bottled beverages. This has resulted in higher yields, reaching 1,680 kilograms per hectare, compared to Shizuoka's 1,030 kilograms per hectare average. Business Insight. Social media has become an essential tool in governmental initiatives to promote matcha. The Japan Food Product Overseas Promotion Center's tea promotion account on Instagram has attracted more than 30,000 followers. TeaBiz correspondent Rupak Goswami filed this report on tea's unexpected role in water purification. A simple cup of tea can do more than provide comfort. It can clean your water. Researchers at Northwestern University found that tea leaves can capture and remove toxic heavy metals, including lead and cadmium. Their study, published in the peer-reviewed journal ACS Food Science and Technology, shows how tea leaves act as natural filters for drinking water. When tea leaves steep in hot water, their porous structure and high surface area capture metal ions, trapping harmful elements. Senior researcher Vinayak P. Dravid explains that the study aimed to uncover tea's potential to reduce heavy metal exposure globally. Quote, "Tea is the most consumed beverage in the world, and people don't have to change anything about their routine to get this benefit," end quote, said Benjamin Schindel, the study's lead author. Quote, "The simple act of brewing tea is already removing contaminants from the water," end quote. What makes tea effective? The research team tested various types of tea, brewing methods, and tea bag materials to evaluate their impact on metal absorption. Key findings include, due to its larger surface area, finely ground black tea demonstrated the highest effectiveness in absorbing metal ions. Longer steep times resulted in greater absorption of contaminants, with extended brewing, such as overnight steeping, maximizing metal removal. The material of the tea bag is significant. While nylon and cotton tea bags had minimal effect, cellulose-based bags were highly effective in absorbing metals without releasing microplastics into the water. The study found that tea leaves can reduce lead in water by up to 15%. While not a substitute for advanced filtration, tea's natural absorption properties can help reduce heavy metal exposure. Quote, "Drinking an extra cup of tea daily could, over time, contribute to lower health risks associated with heavy metal exposure," end quote, Schindel noted. This finding also offers a potential explanation for observed correlations between high tea consumption and reduced rates of heart disease and stroke. Although tea isn't a substitute for water purification, it can enhance water safety. Future research will explore how other plant-based materials affect contaminant removal, possibly leading to new filtration methods. Researchers aim to inspire more studies on natural substances in water purification. Tea's more than a beverage. It's a simple tool for a cleaner, safer drink. Coffee now represents 70% of total caffeine consumption in the U.S., an increase of 15% since a 2010-2011 survey. A recent update of that study involving over 49,000 U.S. adults indicates that although fewer individuals consume caffeinated beverages, those who do opt for stronger doses. Tea drinking appears to be on the downswing. There was an over 50% decrease in the proportion of all caffeinated beverage consumers who reported consuming tea between the most current survey and the 2010-2011 survey, writes study author Diane Mitchell of the Institute for Advancing Health Through Agriculture at Texas A&M. Despite this decline in tea drinkers, adults in all age categories who drink tea have nearly doubled their caffeine intake. Thus, the tea drinkers that remain significantly increase their tea and caffeine consumption. Quote, "We are all aware that the caffeinated beverage market has changed dramatically over the past 10 years, yet no comparable comprehensive caffeine intake data have been published in recent years," end quote, said Mitchell in a news release. Energy drinks, less common a decade ago, now account for 6% of total caffeine intake, as the number of available brands has jumped from 559 to 970. Carbonated soft drinks now contribute only 15% of caffeine intake, a 27% decrease from a decade ago. Average consumption is still below 400 milligrams per day, about 2 to 3 12-ounce cups, which health experts consider safe. The study, published in the peer-reviewed journal Food and Chemical Toxicology, found caffeine intake for all ages 2 years and older higher than previous reports. Quote, "Intakes in younger children in particular are above recommended levels," according to the researchers. The authors caution that, quote, "Since significant changes in survey methods have occurred over time, it is impossible to know if some of the shifts in beverage consumption patterns reflect true trends in intake, as data collection for this study occurred during a period of transition from consuming beverages at home to away from home." The authors concluded, quote, "With a constantly evolving market of caffeinated beverages and the potential impact it has on beverage consumption patterns, continued monitoring of caffeine intake is warranted." And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and I founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Eliminating the de minimis exemption that currently permits duty-free imports under $800 will have far-reaching consequences for the U.S. tea industry. This policy has benefited specialty tea importers, retailers, and consumers sourcing from wholesalers in China and Hong Kong, as well as tea gardens selling directly online. The negative impact on Vietnam and Southeast Asian growers that supply China's tea export network is less obvious. The U.S. decision to add a 10% tariff to the existing 7.5% duty on Chinese tea has already disrupted this ecosystem, penalizing quality-conscious tea enthusiasts and small businesses like Scott Wilson's Yunnan Sourcing, a reliable source of Chinese tea since 2004, with staff in both the U.S. and China. Wilson increased prices by 10% this month, quote, "to deal with increased costs due to tariffs and the fact that no matter what shipping method we end up using to ship from China to the USA, we'll be paying all the tariffs and fees on behalf of the customer," end quote. "This is the only solution that makes sense," he said. "Placing the burden of paying the tariffs on the customer would be a nightmare for both Yunnan Sourcing and the customer," he said. "Orders to addresses other than the U.S. pay the previous rate." Eliminating the exemption is in response to the surge in Chinese imports under the $800 threshold, with estimates suggesting that de minimis imports from China exceeded $50 billion last year, possibly doubling from previous levels. While addressing trade imbalances and security concerns may be a priority for U.S. policymakers, applying broad measures without sector-specific considerations will only damage industries reliant on small-scale, high-quality imports. Tea retailers are a case in point. For tea professional, the implications are clear. The cost of premium Chinese teas, already in high demand, will rise. Unlike commodity tea producers, specialty tea gardens operate on narrow margins and are unlikely to absorb these costs. As a result, Chinese tea exporters will divert their most sought-after offerings to Japan, Europe, Canada, and other markets where demand remains strong. From artisanal tea shops to online retailers and shoppers, American online buyers will face higher prices and reduced access to exquisite Chinese teas. Removing the de minimis exemption is a self-inflicted wound. Given that the U.S. tea cultivation is minimal and primarily focused on niche markets, the exemption will not boost sales by domestic producers. Instead, it alienates customers and businesses committed to quality, innovation, and the direct trade relationship that defines the modern tea industry. Rather than a blanket elimination of the de minimis exemption, U.S. policymakers should consider targeted solutions, such as industry-specific exemptions or revised duty structures that support small-scale artisanal imports while addressing legitimate trade concerns. Otherwise, this decision will only push premium tea further out of reach for American consumers, leaving U.S. retailers at a disadvantage while global competitors reap the benefit. Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.